house that I grew up in, we were fortunate enough after several years of living. My mom and dad built a home. And I remember, like, for the first 7 or 8 years, there was, like, no furniture in the house. Because back then, nobody took out credit or credit cards. You waited till you actually had the money, and then you went and you bought the furniture. So, we had a bed, obviously. When I say no furniture, you know what I mean? The house was very, there wasn't a lot in it. And then, as time went on, things were added. But eventually, my mom and dad were fortunate enough, especially for me as a kid, they were able to put a pool in the backyard. And our house was kind of like here, and there was a hill here, and you had to walk up. That's where they put this pool in. But to get there, you had to walk around the corner of the house, and then you had to walk up the hill. And they didn't have motion lights then, so you had to turn your spotlight on, you know. So you had your spotlight on, but there was a spot right at the corner of the house that there was no spotlight. And so they put a nice spotlight up by the pool. So in New Jersey, it can be pretty hot at night. So sometimes you'd want to go swimming at night, or you'd have your friends over. But this particular night, I was going to go up there alone. And I got around. So I'm walking around. You know, I'm just a young guy, and I'm walking around, and now you're out of the light. Anybody's out there, I'm coming around the corner. Just wanted to warn them that I was coming. And your emotions start to take over. Like, who did I think was going to be around the corner? Nobody was going to be around the corner. But you get scared, don't you? You become fearful. And that happens in our lives. Ethan actually preached on Sunday night about fear. Maybe that's why I was thinking about it. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. But that's part of who we are. It's part of our makeup. We're emotional beings. So I want to give you this Bible study tonight. I'm going to kind of try to tie that in a little bit later on. But look on your handout. I'll give you the first four really fill-ins here. So you and I, we are a three-part creation. So the first part, letter A, you can fill this in, is body. The second part, letter B, is soul. And the third part is spirit. That's how we're made up. Our body, our soul, and our spirit. Look on your handout, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. You guys don't have a handout, do you? They need a handout, Ethan. Where are the handouts? First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. The Bible says, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So there, as Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica, he reminds us. He uses those three words, our spirit, our soul, and our body. James chapter 2, verse 26, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." 2 Corinthians 4:16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." So, our body. What is our body? What is it? Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a minute. But what is it? Huh? Yeah, just dust. You know what, Jim Thompson? I asked my wife to bring me a jacket, but she forgot. So can I borrow your jacket for a minute? What, are you cold? I don't want your keys, I just want your jacket. So, when you talk about your body, this is your body right here. Right? You understand what I'm saying? That's what our body is. That's all it is. Just old, decrepit, and decaying. Well, Charlie said it first. But that's what it is. That's what a body is. It's, you know, an astronaut wears a spacesuit, and in a sense, what we're walking around in, this is our Earth suit. But it only lasts for a short amount of time. 2 Corinthians on the handout says, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened." And it seems like the older you get, the more you groan. And the older that you get, the more burdened that you have. I got Shelley's car inspected yesterday, and the guy that was helping me get through the inspection, I don't know how the conversation came up, but he said something like this: "Oh, it's all catching up with me. All the kind of living that I did when I was younger." And then he went, "I don't know why he's telling me this, but he had this problem, he's got this problem, he's got this problem." I said, "Yeah, well, all that stuff catches up with you after a while. Because this body isn't made to last forever, is it? It's just like this jacket, though. So, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." But then there's the soul. And so then you take this body, and if I put this jacket on, and now that's who I am. "Hey, this fits me pretty good, Jim." "So, well, not too bad, huh?" All right. So that the jacket is nothing. The body is nothing. You make up who you are. And like I was talking to my brother today, too. He's got all kinds of medical problems going on. And he went to the doctors today, to a rheumatologist. And she looked at all of us. "Oh, man," she said, "how are you even walking around?" So he looks pretty good on the outside, but he's decrepit on the inside. He admits that. I'm not talking out of school. But who you are, when you talk with your soul, here, you can have this jacket back. Yeah, because I don't want you to freeze. I know you're getting older and older over there. Next week I'll bring a blanket for you. A pillow too. So our soul. So tell me, what is our soul? Somebody help me. What is our soul? Our body is just this tabernacle, just this tent that we're inhabiting. But what is our soul? If I was to ask you to explain to me, what is your soul? Huh? No, the spirit is going to be, that's the third, we're going to talk about the spirit. But your soul, what is it? Huh? It's who you are. All right, so give me some characteristics when you think of who you are. How does that? Okay, your personality, your likes and your dislikes. When I talked about fear and gave you that example before, it's your emotions. That's who you are. Your emotions. Anything else? Okay, persona, personality. So what is that persona and personality? Your mind, basically, right? How you think. So when you think of your soul, you're thinking of your mind. You're thinking of your emotions. Your mind and your emotions. Anything else? Okay, so you use the word moral, and it could also be immoral. In some ways, it's your emotions, your mind, your will. So we talk about our body. That's the outside. Then we have our soul. So in the Bible, the word heart is often used for. Look at it on your handout, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. "Keep thy heart." Well, that's your mind, your will, your emotions. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Search me, O God," the psalmist said, "and know my heart, my mind, my will, my emotions. Try me and know my thoughts." There's a word that's used in the New Testament kind of the same way. Anybody, it's another word that's used that we would think of it more as heart. It's kind of a strange word, but, Bowels. That's what I'm looking for. Your bowels of mercy. You know, that means your heart. We don't usually think of that, you know, when Valentine's Day comes along, you don't say, oh, honey, I love you with all my bowels. You know, that would be kind of a strange way to put it. But, I guess so. Yeah. Only when I began to date your mother. Yes. Yeah. You're exactly right. Yeah. So you're very modest. Yes. So your body, your soul. Okay, we just talked about that. And then your spirit. What's the difference between your spirit, and think of it from a biblical point of view. And look at letter C here and a couple of verses. So, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. So that verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, is a very revealing verse with regards to the Spirit. So it reveals to us there's a spirit of the world and there's a spirit of God. Amen? And so the spirit of the world is what we're all born with. The spirit of the age. The spirit of, that forms our thinking. That forms our who we... And realistically, we're dead spiritually until we get saved. It's when we... When the Lord comes into our lives and we become a Christian, then we become spiritually alive. The Bible uses the term, he quickens our spirit. So there's three parts. There's the body, there's the soul, and then there's the spirit. We have the old man, we have the new man, but there's a change in our spiritual DNA. And when we accept Christ as our Savior, we're a new creature. You know, it's amazing, too, when I was thinking about this whole DNA thing. Have you heard, maybe you've seen this, I'm not really sure how this is going to tie into the Bible study, but maybe it will. These murderers that are getting caught. You know how they're getting caught? They're getting caught with their DNA, but you know how they're finding their DNA? So you see these things, you ever see these things advertised on TV? You find out what your heritage is. And I guess, you send them blood or I don't know. And then they tell you, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it goes into a data bank. And so this guy out in California who had killed, I think they accused him of killing close to 50 people, he had a relative who sent in, it was either he or she, her DNA, and it came up. And so the police, it was close enough, obviously, to his DNA. So the police go to investigate her. They find out who her family members are. Then the red flags go off, and they find this guy, who I think was at some time might have been part of the investigation. And then they are able to get DNA from him, and that's how they catch him. Now, it's good for law enforcement, but it's kind of scary when you think about how, you know, that's all in these data banks. But your DNA tells us, this is how we're going to tie this in, your DNA really identifies who we are. And so when we receive Christ as our Savior, now our DNA changes. We have a godly spiritual DNA. It's the Holy Spirit. Amen? You follow what I'm saying? So you have the old DNA and you have the new DNA. So our bodies, three parts, creation, body, soul, and spirit. Now, so the title of this, or the secondary title, is Understanding the In-Between Components of Salvation. So what's the deal with this, the in-between? What do you think we mean by the in-between components of salvation? I thought salvation was instantaneous. What is the in-between components of salvation? Okay, good. right. It's instantaneous, spiritually speaking, but the body, we're going to get a new body. We're going to see that in a little bit in the lesson. We're going to get a new body eventually. So when the lesson is talking about the in-between, it's talking about the day that you got saved, and then it's talking about everything that takes place until you receive your new body. So look at the second part of this handout here. So number two is salvation is a three-part miracle. And I saw that and I thought, wow, that's kind of like, no, it happens instantaneous. Yeah, it does happen instantaneous. But let's look at this here. On your handout, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And then Titus, what we already read. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So the number of words here that we want to talk about. Letter A, you can fill this blank in, the word regeneration. Regeneration. By the washing of regeneration. Well, it's really what we just talked about. When we get saved, we're regened. We have a new life. We become a new creature. You follow that? And we're body, we're soul, but now the Spirit of God resides within us. That's why we talk about not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration. Or Romans 8:9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. So this miracle that takes place first is regeneration. We become a new creature in Christ Jesus. But then letter B, and this is something to always be mindful of. There is the renewal. The renewal, which 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, that's the body. The outward man is perishing, isn't it? It's perishing. The outward man perish, but the inward man is renewed day by day. And that's such a wonderful blessing when you think about it, you know. I really am concerned about my mother. I talked to her today. I usually call her Monday, but I was been busy. And so, and then I was getting some texts from my niece who lives with her. She was going back and forth to the doctors. And I did call her today, and she went into some coughing fits. And she has a serious case of bronchitis. She's 86 years old. And I'm thankful she does not have pneumonia, but the bronchitis is serious enough. And she's on oxygen. But when she wasn't coughing, and I was talking to her on the phone, she sounded pretty chipper. And you wouldn't have known just by talking to her that she's 86 years old. Unless you know her, and then you know she's 86. But her body is 86. I saw when we were camping, my next-door neighbors, when I grew up, the Roggs. And my friend Doug, he was one of my best friends growing up, and I saw him at the camp out up at Lake George. His family owns a cottage up there. But I saw Mr. and Mrs. Rogg. They're 86. And my mom was saying, well, how do they look? You know? I guess that's what you do when you're 86. You want to know how everybody else that's 86 looks. I said, well, they look pretty good, but they sound just like they sounded when we were growing up, and they look just like they looked when we were growing up, but they're 86. So they're gray, and, you know, I was trying to be kind. And, So the body, it's great to take care of your body, and you should take care of your body. Our body is the temple of God. But you know what? Sooner or later, your body's going to wear out and it's going to give up the ghost. Sooner or later. I think it's important that we take care of it, because the more you take care of it, the older that you live, the better your quality of life will be the older that you live. It's pretty important, I think. And I have to be honest, the saddest part of the ministry is when I go to the nursing home. It's a tough place to go. Or the adult day center. It's not sad in the sense I enjoy going there and ministering, but I watch, and now I've been going to the adult day center for, I don't know, 8 or 9 years now, and just last week, one of the ladies who I ministered to for years, she passed away. But that's the nature of things, isn't it? You know, you don't, but we're reminded of this. The inward man doesn't grow old. The inward man is renewed day by day by day. Kind of like if you want that brand new car smell, you can buy a can of brand new car smell and spray it. Well, and every day, you could even spray that in that old Chevy van that's out there with 265,000 miles. You could spray it in there and you could blind somebody and get him in there. Oh, this is a brand new van. And then you take the blinders off and it's just a rust bucket. The gas tank almost fell out on the way back from the camp out. But the Spirit, each and every day, so it doesn't matter if you're 86 or you live to 106, the Spirit is renewed day by day by day. That's part of the in-between. And what a blessing that is. Like Pastor Ethan, he was preaching the other day about being cranky. You get older, you shouldn't be cranky because the Spirit is renewed day by day. That really convicted my heart. I can be pretty cranky. Oh, well said, but not true. Not true. Okay. Well, the expert just walked in. We're going to move on from this point just in the nick of time, because we don't want to talk about. We want to talk about being renewed day by day by day. By the way, if you're married, shouldn't your marriage be that way also? Right, B? Fresh, thank you. Fresh and new, and each day you wake up and you look over at Jim, and you should say, "I'm more in love with him today than ever." You don't have to answer me. That's okay. I don't want to put you on the spot. But that is part of the renewal with Jesus each and every day. You sing that old chorus. I was thinking about this afternoon. I love him better every day. But then I was thinking about the body. I grow older every day. I was trying to make it all work. But the body grows older, but the Spirit is renewed day by day by day. There's a renewal. There's a renewal. The renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And then letter C is redemption. And that's what Brother Charlie mentioned earlier when we talked about this process. Yes, we are saved instantaneously. When do we have eternal life? The moment we accept Christ as our Savior. But then there's the body is going to grow old, but the soul is renewed day by day, the Spirit of God dwelling in us. But then one day we're going to get a new body. Boy, praise the Lord for that. Amen? One day we're going to get a new body. And the redemption of our body, it says there in Romans 8:23, the middle verse. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. What a blessing that will be, that God will give us a brand new body for all of eternity. When we see Him, the Bible says there it is in 1 John, that we shall be as He is. And no more pain. I love those verses in the book of Revelation. No more pain and no more sorrow and no more heartache and no more sickness, no more death. Whew. Praise the Lord for that. So there's the regeneration, there's the renewal, and then there is the redemption. And then lastly, we're reminded that we're all a work in progress. Amen? We are all a work in progress. And until we get to heaven, that work continues. It's like Bea and Jim's marriage. It's a work in progress. Right, Bea? Yes. Every marriage is a work in progress. Deborah's kind of looking at me like, what is he talking about here? But our salvation, our sanctification, it's all a work in progress. So it started, letter A, with the new birth, which is amazing. We should never take it for granted. I was preaching that on Sunday. You are God's work in progress. We are God's work in progress. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. But then letter A is the new birth, but letter B is the new mind. The new mind. And that's a happening event. It just doesn't happen. It's happening. Every day, our mind should be changing. Our thinking should be changing. It's not something we can manufacture. It's not something that it doesn't come from our performance, but it comes from the Holy Spirit of God living in and through us and us yielding ourselves to the Spirit of God. And our whole thinking changes. It ought to. It ought to be continually changing. It ought to be continually, and I'll use this word, evolving spiritually as we grow closer and closer to the Lord. But we have to, you know, if we're allowing ourselves to be renewed day by day, that's going to add, and that's going to be part of the happening. Probably all of you know Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that's on the handout. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Well, that you didn't do that on the day of salvation. We're supposed to do that every day. I'm presenting myself to you as a living sacrifice today, each and every day. And that is really the whole, and I know you probably get sick of me saying this because I say it all the time. That's always why I'm always saying, and I used to say this quite a bit, Christianity is a walk. And I've often said, not lately, but I've said, like, the left foot forward is your time you spend in God's Word each day. The right foot forward is the time you spend in prayer each day. And the left foot forward is your time you spend in God. If you're not going to spend time in God's Word each day, and you're not going to spend time talking to the Lord each day, how are you going to be renewed day by day? That new mind. If you're not going to present yourself a sacrifice each day, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a continual process as we grow in the Lord and in the things of the Lord. And so, the new birth, the new mind, and then we look for the new body, as we've already talked about. As I already mentioned, it's great to take care of your body, but you're only going to live in... It's like that coat I was trying on that Jim had. Sooner or later, even though that's a nice coat, if you wear it long enough, that coat's going to wear out. And your body's going to wear out. It's going to give out. It's going to give out. 1 Corinthians, the second verse under the letter C. This corruption must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. It's going to live forever. That's great. Well, the last verse, Philippians 3:21. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able to subdue all things. So, conclusion is this. Salvation, it's a one-time decision. And that begins the everyday process and leads us to a someday completion. I like that. Salvation is a one-day decision. Or salvation is a one-time decision that begins an everyday process that leads us to a someday completion. Regeneration happens instantly, the renewal happens daily, and the redemption happens eventually. So that's the in-betweens. The daily is the in-betweens. And that's our Bible study for tonight. We've got new life. We've got old flesh. There's an in-between, a three-part creation, body, soul, and spirit. Make sure you're feeding. Make sure you're. It's important to feed the body, but make sure you're feeding the soul and walking in the spirit. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll have our prayer time together. Lord, thank you again for this opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you've promised a number of things. We realize that this body is going to grow old one day, and or may not even grow old, but our bodies can become sick, and that can wear us out. But you have promised that each and every day can be a new day, a renewal, a freshness that only Christ can offer. We're so thankful for that promise. And oh, we look forward to the day when we shall be as you are, and that we'll have new bodies, glorified bodies, and we'll spend eternity with you. Bless our prayer time. Let it bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.